Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
So anyway, thanks again for being here. This is super. The wise and the wonderful, that's who we are. Well, we've got an exciting program today because it's been, I don't know how long it's been since we've had Ryan Jones from Manna Worldwide with us, sharing some stories about his travels. And I guess lately you're not traveling too much. Yeah, it's a little different now with the travel restrictions and so on. But believe me, he has been around. So come on up here, Ryan. And he's got a little some pictures. He's got a little video. He's going to tell you about it. So I'm looking forward to it. He's a good friend, as well as always does a good program for us. And we appreciate the work and his whole family does around the world. All right.
Thank you, sir. You talked about not hitting some of the notes all the time. I don't know if I've ever hit a note once. I don't even sound good in my own head. So it's terrible. I try to sing in the shower, and it's awful, but it's okay. I'll get my stuff here. So it's good to be back with you guys. Last time I was here, I'd just gotten home from Iraq. Who knew how different this world was going to be? You know, we always talk about hindsight's 2020. Now I think we just want 2020 in our hindsight. It's been a crazy world. I appreciate your prayers. Thank you for your support and all that y'all do. And it's such a small world, you know, we're just talking about Christ Chapel and they're like, oh, I was at Christ Chapel and I see your picture up there. And they talk about it because I took one of their teams on a mission trip to Cambodia. And so you never know how you're going to run into people and where you're going to meet people and how God can use you. I'm going to tell a quick story. I was flying back from somewhere, sitting on this airplane, and sometimes you find that I'm just tired. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm like, God, just let me sit here in my peace, you know, and I'm on this airplane, and God's like, yeah, you need to talk to the guy next to you. And of course, I rationalize, well, I think he's tired. He looks really tired, Lord, and I'm tired, and I don't want to bother him. You know, that would be rude, right? You know, you're trying to talk God out of this big plan that he has, and I'm finally like, okay, I get it. I'll talk to him, God. So I sit and start talking to him, and he was teaching English in Russia. I said, well, how did you want to teach English in Russia? And he said, well, I used to live in Palestine, Texas, and worked as a prison guard and just needed some change. Saw it on – yeah, that's a big change, all right. And he said, I saw it on Facebook and thought, well, I could do this, and goes, gets a little training, and the next thing you know, he goes, I'm living in Russia. I'm making a great salary. I work like 3 or 4 days a week in the marketplace with people, and I get free housing. It's phenomenal. And we'll kind of find out he's a Christian. I go, this would be a great opportunity for Christians wanting to get around the world. Like, he goes, oh, yeah. I was like, they would get to engage the people that they're going to reach right there, and they'd have salary. They have open door and visas. And he goes, this is awesome. So we exchanged contact information. He said, I'm only home for a month, and then I'm going back. I said, okay, so we email each other back and forth, and, you know, and then some time goes by. I kind of forget about it. I run into this missionary couple, and they're doing work in Cambodia, and they're like, man, God's just closing doors. I don't know what to do. And he reminded me of this man I met on an airplane. I said, you know what? I know this guy in Russia, and he's doing something. Let me connect you. Maybe it'll be an open door for you. So I email him, and I get this email back. This email is undeliverable. The email account no longer exists. And I'm like, great. How am I going to find some guy in the middle of Russia? You know, and I just started like, God, if you brought him into my life for a reason, then you can reconnect us. And so I just started praying that prayer. Well, there was a family in our church, and this lady, her mom was having surgery, having a tumor removed. So we just went up to the hospital to love on them and just be with them, pray with them. And talking to her father-in-law, he's like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, we're doing mission work stuff. He goes, oh, I just wish God could use me, but all I am is a realtor. God can never use me. I'm like, are you kidding me? Think of all the people you meet and all, you know, all this, like how you could be this great connector in the mission field and in God's kingdom. He's like, you know what? You're right. In fact, I know this guy in Russia that teaches English. You know, like what are the chances? Well, 1 out of 7 billion technically, but I mean, if you look at mathematically, but, and so he starts talking. I said, oh, I met a guy on a plane, you know, and he starts telling about this guy. I'm going, this sounds like the same guy. And I was like, his name didn't happen to be Don, did it? He goes, how do you know Don? I go, you won't believe it. So I tell him the whole story. I said, I've been praying for a week that God would give me his new email address. He goes, oh, that's crazy. Last night he emailed me and said, hey, here's my new email address just in case you need it. And I connect, and I'm like, okay, God. And I was like, look what you just did. You just connected the kingdom from around the world and you're just a realtor. And he goes, wow, I guess God could use. So you never know how these connections, God's going to use you. And you're just going to think it's insignificant, the person you're sitting next to on the bus or wherever, and God will use you. This year has been different though. In the spirit of COVID, our family, we really wanted to get the full experience. So we all got it. That was not by design. This was back in like March and April. They actually didn't know my wife and first daughter had it because it was so early on. They were like, oh, it's probably just, well, I don't know. And so they, and then my other daughter and I got it and they tested us and then we got antibody tests, but I ended up running 104 fever, got double pneumonia and was down for 2 months. They all got hardly anything. They didn't even hardly run a fever. They felt fine. They recovered like great, but I'm doing great now. But it has been a different year. I was able to show the first picture here. I was able to go to the Philippines before COVID hit. This was back in February and March, or before we knew COVID had hit. And these are some books. And you think sometimes you're like, God, what resource do I have that you could use around the world? Well, this is from, these books are from Frisco and Denton ISDs. They had all these books that are out of date. They had to get rid of. And it was going to cost them like $50,000 to try to get rid of these books. They didn't know what to do with them. Well, the Philippines, they only have like one book for every 40 kids. They're like, we'll take all the books you can get us. So this church up in up north of Denton paid to ship 5 container loads full of books. And now the ISDs are coming to the church in Manila, grabbing all the books they can. They're opening doors. We've seen the Department of Education officials get saved in this process. It's amazing the doors the Lord has opened because we got rid of a couple books. Well, a couple hundred thousand books, but still, you know, so we think like, God, how could you use me? What resources do I have? It's like, he'll use anything. And then show the next picture. We were, from there, we went on to, work at one of our feeding centers. These are a couple of the kids there, got the love on them. This is a squatter's village, middle of nowhere. And then the next picture of them, who knew Happy Meals could bring so much joy? Even in the Philippines, they have Happy Meals. So we brought them Happy Meals and it was pretty neat because this project's supported by a couple of churches here in the States that partnered with them and love on these kids. And I got to go back and go to these churches and share a video of, hey, this is where your money's gone. This is how God has used your support and your adoption of these kids in this project. They know who Jesus Christ is. Out of 100 million people, people are like, well, how big is the Philippines? There's twice as many people in the Philippines as all of Central America combined. And they're just on a little island. It's crazy how many people there are. And yet God's doing a great work there. You know, and so I get back home. I literally land at DFW Airport in March, and the next day it turns into chaos with 4-hour lines and shutting down customs and everything. So God got me home just the amount of time. I was supposed to go through Hong Kong, and they shut that airport down. They rerouted me through Tokyo, finally landed, made it home to my family. And show the next picture here. So it's like, well, what do we do now? You know, how do we serve? You know, sometimes we have this plan of how God can use us. And it's in our minds how he's like, well, God, how can I serve? And you know what? If you ask him, he'll open doors. And he opened doors to do food deliveries with Tarrant Area Food Bank and just take food to people and love on people here. It's like so many times we don't understand why we're at, where we're at, or what's going on around us. We just got to be willing to let God use us in those moments and situations. Next picture. And then we had a family. After I had recovered from COVID, been about 2 months, we went down with a church that we work with in Cleburne, and there was a couple. They were both teachers, and they had just miscarried a baby. They were overwhelmed. They needed help on their house. Their life was collapsing down around them. They didn't know what was happening with school. I mean, it was just turmoil. We just got to come alongside and love them, work on their house. And here's my daughters taking some stuff out of the ceiling for them. I tore down a fort. I have a loving wife, and I think she gets tired of putting up with me sometimes. I got West Nile, and she told me to suck it up. But once you have West Nile and malaria and Lyme disease and Epstein-Barr and all sorts of stuff, she's like, enough is enough. Just would you get over this? And so anyways, I'm helping. I just recovered from COVID, and I'm helping tear down this barn, and I'm picking stuff up and carrying it, and all of a sudden everything just goes spinning in black. And next thing you know, I'm laying on the ground looking up. My wife's over me. He's like, overdid it, huh? Yeah, I guess you overdid it. And I'm like, Did anybody see that? Sometimes God has to build a governor in me. I don't have moderation, but next slide. And then I got to build a bridge here. And actually, this is in Saginaw. It's a camp for pediatric cancer patients and their families. And they had a problem with this water washing out their road and everything. So we had a lot of fun with cross ties and steel beams. And we discovered this process that the creosote is rather caustic, and our arms got on fire, like not little fire, but burning. And but the bridge is done now. Next. And, you know, sometimes you're like, man, God, I am serving here. You're opening doors. But our heart's still overseas. And you think, how could God possibly use us? Well, speaking of the Christ Chapel group, we took a team to Cambodia year and a half ago through a medical clinic. And there we realized they had a bunch of needs at the hospital in that town. So we came back to the States, and through a lot of prayer and work, we were able to collect all of the equipment they needed. And during COVID, shipped a container full of medical supplies and operating room equipment and beds to Cambodia. This arrived in July. They unloaded it. And so even though we're not there physically, we're still able to do the work and help there. We're able to help out in Mongolia with some outreaches, Philippines with outreaches. Next picture. Here's the Philippines, a bunch of outreaches. They can't come to the feeding center, but we can go to their houses and deliver food baskets. And so you just realize that the ministry doesn't always look the way we think it's going to look. But with every obstacle is an opportunity, I found in my life. And this has been an opportunity to really love on people and reach people that would never come. There's people that have gotten saved that would never have heard about the gospel except because of COVID, they had a need now. Next slide. This is in Thailand. And it's crazy. There's a business, a car dealership, that allows the church to go hand out food in a Buddhist nation. And all these Buddhist people line up in droves to come get food and hear the gospel. And so sometimes we think we have walls and barriers, and God's like, I'll bring down the walls and the barriers. I'll give you an open door. And we don't realize that the gift that God's given us. And so he's allowing us to work in these ways in this time. And then right after this one, have a video here. I was going to try to explain what we did, but I thought the video does a better job of it. So if you want to go ahead and show that video. Hey everybody, it's Ryan Jones here with Manna Worldwide, and just wanted to give you an update. Crazy times, but God provides opportunities. Reached out to one of the school districts in the area. They need some goggles and gloves for the chemistry students, so that way every student could have their own pair for protection. And so I talked to the teacher, and this is kind of where my faith comes in, or lack of faith, I should say, comes in. And I talked to the teacher, say, well, how many do you need for your students at the high school? I said, well, we need like 225 pairs. And my first response is, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Let me see. And you know what? I can't, but God does. The next thing you know, I go to Manna's Warehouse. I have over 1,000 pairs. Each high school in the district is 360 pairs. So God provided above and beyond for that need. And I'm like, wow, it's like watching God divide the loaves and the fish. And then I have another load here behind me. It's another 1,000. So we provided over 2,000 goggles to this school district. And then that same day, I pick up gloves, the latex-free exam gloves, over 6,500 of them. And I'm watching the school board meeting that night, and they're talking about how they don't have enough gloves. They don't know where they're going to get them, and they're worried about supply chain. And I'm like, I've already got them. God's already given them. I was able to reach out to the assistant superintendent and say, hey, God's already provided. Here's what we have. They were so overjoyed that we had those. And I think it's like our lives sometimes. God's already provided. He already has the provision ready for us. He's just waiting for us to ask. And it's just so cool when God provides and we find out what the need is the next day. So I appreciate your support. I appreciate what you're doing. And thank you for the prayers. All right. Got a load to deliver. God bless you guys. So it's pretty cool to watch God just open doors with the school districts even. And sorry, I'm out of frame here. And sometimes, like, God's given us a resource and we don't even know it, and you hear the need the next day, like, oh, wow, God, you've already provided. I realize how many times in my life do I worry, God, could you really do this? And God's like, I've already done it. I'm just waiting for you to ask. You know, it's already been put into place. So that was a pretty neat thing that happened back in August. And the hurricanes have hit, And God opened the door for us to go to Louisiana and start doing some disaster relief out there. So if you can roll this next video. Slightly different place.
Hey everybody, it's Ryan. A little out of breath and running a chainsaw. We're here in Longville, Louisiana, near Lake Charles, where the hurricane came through. Got a team right now. We're cutting down trees. A lot of trees have fallen over, fallen on houses, fallen on power lines. They've been without power for about 2 weeks. Said it could be another 3 weeks for that power restored. It's pretty bad. Been cleaning out houses. A lot of overwhelmed people, so sometimes just somebody showing up to walk alongside them, help take down ceilings and walls and floors, and just love on them makes a big difference. I get to share the love of Christ in this process. Put a tarp on a church, a roof that was leaking. It's about 40 feet in the air. Nobody died, thank goodness. But it was kind of exciting seeing all those guys up there. But I appreciate your prayers. A lot of work to do here. We're just a tiny, tiny, tiny part, but all trying to play the part that we've been given. So love you guys. Thank you for the support. And keep praying for people in Louisiana. God bless.
And I just realized with a lot of these situations, if I'd have been overseas, I couldn't have helped in these places. You know, and some of these relationships and to watch people, and even like in Louisiana, going alongside these people. And it was so cool to watch the church. This church, it just had the roof ripped completely off of it. And they were kind of the central place in the town. They were distributing all the food and helping everybody else and doing all this stuff. And you realize sometimes in our own calamity, we tend to focus inward, and yet they were focusing outward. And we can still do that now. Even in COVID and times like that, we can still focus outward. And really, something I wanted to share with y'all this morning, it's kind of interesting. The one video I alluded to it, and then Pastor Steve here's singing one of the songs about the loaves and the fish. And I thought, oh, this is funny. Yeah, I love when God does stuff like that. He just kind of puts things together, and you're like, wow, how does he do this? And then you realize, of course, he's God, and it's not really a big deal for him. But I love it when he does that. I want to pray real quick and just read a couple stories to you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day and this church. Thank you for Vision Church and what they're doing, and I pray you'll bless these people. Bless this church and this community. Help them to just be a lighthouse here, and just open up your word to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I don't have anything long this morning or really big, but it's interesting. During this time, we did this challenge at Manna. Like, can we read through the Bible in 90 days? You know, you hear people do the year-long reading. That's a lot of reading. 90 days, I was like, wow, read the Bible in 90 days. That's a lot of reading. And but we did it. And it was so cool because there's so many stories in the Bible that end up connecting that never connected before. Because maybe they were like three or four chapters apart. So by the time I got from this story to that story, it had been like a week or two or ever, depending on how big a chunks I was reading in. And so I never really put it together. But all of a sudden, I'm reading 15, 20 chapters a day, and things start coming to life and connecting. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So I would encourage you, if you have the time and the ability, try reading through the Bible in 90 days. Try to pick a plan and do that and sit down and spend a couple hours a day and do it. Because it will open up the Bible in ways that you can't even imagine. But I want to talk about the loaves and the fish. And what's interesting is God did it twice, or Jesus did it two different times. I'm going to read the first one in Matthew chapter 14. This is verses 14 through 21. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. And the crowds... send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." So the disciples are like, "Hey, they're tired. Can you just send them away to go buy food and stuff?" But Jesus had a different idea. Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only five loaves here and two fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass and take the five loaves and the two fish. He looked up to heaven and saw a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the crowd, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So, I mean, you're looking at 15, 20, 25,000 people, a lot of people that he fed here when you count the women and children. You know, so the disciples are like, they doubted. They doubted, like, "God, could you really do this? Like, how can you do this?" And he's like, "All I need is a couple loaves and some fish." And you see what God did. And I don't want to focus necessarily on how he did it and what he did here, but just that God did this miracle. And so many times God does a miracle in our lives or does something in our lives, and then how soon do we forget what he did and find ourselves in the same situation instead of falling back on the, oh yeah, the last time we were here, you did this and it came through. I bet you'll do it again. Well, here's what the disciples did. So they saw this, saw God feed all these people, 5,000 the first time, which is more than that. And so then several chapters later, you go to chapter 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I'm unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. So he's in another place, has another crowd, and they're starving again. They've been fasting for 3 days with him. And the disciples said to him, where are we going to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? I mean, if I was Jesus, you talk about a man with patience. I'd be like, really? You boneheads, what do you think we did last month? You know, I don't know how long the gap is, but you know, like, we just did this and this is less people than last time. You know, but the disciples completely forgot, I guess. And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men beside the women and children. So, you know, it's about 20% less than the last time. And I think we do this in our lives and we don't realize. We laugh at the Israelites. We laugh at the disciples. We see what they do. We're like, really, guys? But the problem is we know the whole story. It's easy to laugh at someone when you see the outcome turned out okay. You know, it's we're like, why was David scared of Goliath? He kills him. Well, he didn't know he was going to kill him at the time, you know. And we face our Goliaths in our lives. And I just want to say, God has brought you through trials in your life. Use it to encourage you. Use it to encourage others, to walk with other people that are going through trials. I think the Israelites and the Jewish people have done something that we failed to do. They write their stories down as a remembrance, and they tell their children, man, this is where God parted the waters. This is where God brought down the walls. This is where God did this and that. And I think we need to be better at that with our children, our grandchildren, people around us, and remind them, hey, this is where God did this work. Remember, he is God. He is Alpha and Omega. And I just want to encourage us to do that in our lives. And the last story is also in Matthew, a few chapters later. And it's kind of fun when you read all these stories together. You're like, wow, you just get to see God doing a whole lot of neat stuff. And you have a lot more truth about that. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, it says, this is about the 100 sheep. It says, what do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray? Does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. We've read this story 100 times. I guess the 100 sheep 100 times, sorry. Stuck on 100 here. But we read this story over and over, and I think we always focus on the one, right? It's the one like, man, God went and got that one. And how did that one feel? And I bet that one felt great. We never really think about the 99. And really, if you think about it, how encouraging was it for the 99? Some people think, oh, wow, did they get left? No. If I was the 99, I'd be encouraged knowing that if something happened to me, my God would come after me. You know, sometimes we need to sit and watch how God went after and healed that one. God went after and saved that one and know that when I'm that one, he'll come after me. Not be jealous, not be upset, not be like, what about us? We're 99. He's only one. But to be encouraged, I'd be encouraged. They'd be encouraged by the fact that God would say, hey, y'all stay here, y'all are safe, and I'm going to go save the one. And so many times, like we look at Louisiana, we look at places around the world, look at these kids that are starving, and God sends an army to go love on them and take care of them. And it needs to be an encouragement to us to say, A, thank you, God, for blessing us to have the ability to go serve these people. But B, to know that, you know what, God, when I'm in that position, I can now see how you would come provide for me. And so that's just all I have today. I just wanted to share some videos, some pictures, some updates with you guys, some encouragement. 2020 has been a lot different than I ever expected, but he's opened doors I never could have opened. And thank you so much. Thank you.